Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to the service this morning. My name is John Schmidt. I'm the pastor here at Centerpoint. And inside your bulletin, you will find an outline entitled, Let's Go. In fact, that's the title of a new series that we're starting today. We want to spend the next couple of weeks talking about where we're going as a church, as Centerpoint. And that way, you'll know what's in store for us in the future. I have an exciting vision that the Lord has given me as the pastor and our elders that we're working on and we've been praying for a long time. In fact, the vision that I'm going to communicate to you today is something that the Lord put on my heart that began about 15 years ago. And I am excited to tell you where God is leading us as a church. I hope by the time we leave today, you'll be excited too. And you'll say, well, let's go. Let's get on with it. And then you know where we get the series title from. Let me have a word of prayer and we'll jump right in. Lord, I want to get going on this lesson. I want to get going on the vision you have for us. I pray, Lord, today you'll speak, you'll move me out of the way and communicate that vision clearly. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, inside your bulletin, this outline has a few scriptures that I'll be mentioning as we go along, as well as some fill-in-the-blank items. If you need a pen to fill in those blanks, just raise your hand and one of these ushers will be glad to get you a pen so you can keep up. What I want you and I to realize is that Jesus came into our world on a mission. That's point one on your outline. It's no accident that Jesus was here. He was not here on a vacation, not taking in tourism. Hey, I wonder what that blue planet's like over there. I'm going to go have a lunch there. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came on a mission. I know this because he made a number of statements. There are four that I've included in your outline. There are many more. But these are four statements that Jesus made about his mission. Here's what he said. First of all, Jesus said, I came to bring light. I came to bring light. I've come as a light to shine in this dark world. This is John 12:46, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. From God's point of view, all of us here on planet Earth are living in the dark. We're stumbling around in spiritual darkness. A few weeks ago, I was replacing a light fixture in our house, and foolishly, I waited till after sundown to get this done because I thought it would be no big deal. Well, as I was replacing it, I crossed some wire somewhere and blew the fuse, and the whole house went dark. So I had to go into the, and my wife was going, you couldn't do this during the day. Okay. But anyway, so then I had to stumble into the storage room where our fuse box is. And as I was going in there, I stubbed my toe on something that was out of place in there. And I was not thinking happy thoughts. Can anybody relate to what I'm having? Okay. I was stumbling around in the dark. Well, eventually got a flashlight, got this thing fixed and the lights came back on. Okay. That's good. Now we're not stumbling around in the dark. But there are millions of people all over our society, billions of people in the world who are stumbling around in spiritual darkness. You know, they're so clueless, they think that if I just have more money, then I'll be satisfied. But those of us who've lived long enough that maybe you've discovered this like I have, that the more money you make, the more you spend. Can anybody relate to that besides me? Or you keep thinking, well, you know, if I just get this promotion, if I just get some recognition in my company, then I'll feel significant. And then we get the promotion and we realize, oh my goodness, this just meant 10 times more responsibility. Or maybe we think, hey, if I go to a party every weekend and I party my brains out and I just have this great time and really tie one on and we have all this fun, then I'll be truly happy. But then people wake up the next morning hungover and out of cash and in trouble. And they go, well, that wasn't satisfying. And so we got people all over the world and they're groping after pleasure or money or power or things. And they're saying, this will make me happy. This will give me significance. Here's where I'll find meaning. And Jesus said, no. I've come into the world to be a light, to shine out in the darkness. I'm God and I'll show you what life is all about. Follow me. I am the light. Follow me. So Jesus came to bring light to a dark world. He also came to bring restoration. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus said that. Once when he was confronted by some people who were very religious, and they confronted him, they said, why do you hang out with such notorious sinners? Jesus answered this way, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call sinners, not those who think they're already good enough. Jesus came into our world on a mission to bring light, and he came into our world on a mission to bring restoration. I came to restore a right relationship between you and God. See, we're all sinners. And if you're in doubt, if you're married, your spouse can clear that up for you. You're a sinner, okay? If you're a kid, your parents can verify you're a sinner and so on. But the point is, we're all sinners in this room. And we need our sins forgiven. And Jesus came to do something about that. I talked to a man not that long ago, and he said, well, I can't come to your church. You just don't know how much sin is in my life. And I was able to read him verses just like the one I read you here. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. And maybe today you're here to, and for that reason alone, just to get to this point in the message, and you need to hear this. God loves you, and he came into this world to forgive you of your sins and to make you right with God. And through a right relationship with Jesus, that's all possible. And Jesus said, I want the whole world to know that. Now, Jesus came for more than that. Another statement that he said was this, that he came to bring abundant life. John 10:10. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I'm not talking about, I just said a minute ago, it's not about making us all healthy and wealthy and famous and beautiful. I mean, look around the room again. Okay, we're pretty much ordinary people here. Right? That's not what he means by abundant life. Abundant life means that he's come to give us life that is full of meaning and purpose and joy and peace and contentment. Oh, I mean, I long for that in my life, and so do you. It's not just about having more stuff. It's about having more peace and being able to go to work and feeling like I'm doing what God made me to do and enjoying what life I do have instead of always pining away for all the stuff I don't have. And that's abundant life. And Jesus said, I can give that to you if you follow me. I came that you can have that kind of life. No matter what circumstances you're going through, I'll go with you. And finally, Jesus came to bring eternal life. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, or he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus said, look, I want you to have abundant life full of joy and contentment and peace. I want you to know God's forgiveness and that you can be restored to him. I don't want you to stumble around in darkness trying to find every other solution for those things. I want you to follow me so you'll have joy in this life. And then after you die, you can come and live with me in heaven forever. That's why I've come. You can have abundant life and meaning and purpose. You don't have to stumble around, and you can have eternal life forever. We'll live together. And the people who heard his message thought that was so good that they wrote whole accounts of it, and they called that message good news. I mean, isn't that good news that we can be made right with God? Isn't it great news that we don't have to stumble around in the darkness? Isn't it great news that we don't have to be afraid of dying anymore because Jesus found a solution to death? If it's good news to you this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
This is good news. And so Jesus' mission was to come and rescue the world from sin, restore us to God, give us light and direction, and give us the hope of eternal life. To make a plan for that, to make a way for that. And he did it. That's why he died on the cross, for our sins. And he rose from the dead, he proved it. Now what you also need to know is that when he came into this world on a mission, he took aside a number of men and surrounded himself with them, and they became his students, his disciples. And he poured his life into them for about 3 years, a little over 3 years in his ministry. He called them to join him. They watched him. They observed him teach. They saw him do the miracles. They saw him rise from the dead. They saw him after he rose. And he said, you guys are my disciples. I'm going to pass my mission on to you. And that's the next point in your outline. It's point two on your outline. Jesus commissioned his disciples to carry on his mission until he returns. Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday. He rose again on Easter Sunday. And then he appeared to his disciples a number of times after he rose for about a month and a half. And then he ascended into heaven. But before he left, he passed his mission on to them. He said this, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything's ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Now, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I came into the world on a mission to bring light and restoration and abundant life and eternal life. I'm now giving that mission to you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples. You are my disciples. Now I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The Father has sent me. I trained you. Now I'm sending you. Go and train others. The same things I taught you, you saw me teach that. The way you saw me love and forgive, do that. The whole world's going to know you're my disciples by the way you love each other. So I'm passing the mission on to you. Here's what's great. They heard it and they obeyed. So Jesus made disciples and his disciples made disciples and their disciples made disciples and so on. All through the centuries until now. And here's the next point in your outline. You and I are the current generation of Jesus' disciples. If you and I have a faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're the current generation. Now let that sink in for a little bit. Jesus came on a mission. He passed that mission on to his disciples and said, you guys make disciples and pass the mission on to your disciples that I passed on to you. Yes, sir. And they did it. Now it's our turn. When the Apostle Paul thought about this, here's what he said. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and their new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. It's our turn. And in our day and age, God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. We're the current generation. Each generation has had to make the most of their time and say, how are we going to reconcile people in our world to Christ? And each generation has had to answer that question. And at Centerpoint, the reason that Centerpoint was formed about 2 years ago was to address exactly this question. So if you turn your outline over, point four is really where I want to get to today to talk about this. But I needed to take a running start at it so you understand our motivation behind this. Centerpoint was created as a multi-site church in order to fulfill Jesus' mission. Now, if you've not heard that term before, a multi-site church is one church meeting in multiple locations. Up till now, in this first year and 9 months or so, I came on board in December of 2009. There were some people that had been meeting before that for a month and a half or so. So it's been almost 2 years now since this church was organized. As this church came together, it was put together with the understanding that it would become a multi-site congregation. One church meeting in multiple locations. What a multi-site would look like is exactly like what you see here. People gathered for worship so we could celebrate God's goodness and praise his name with a worship team, with ushers and greeters, and people working in children's ministry and doing Kids Central, all that stuff going on. Having connect groups that meet all throughout the community during the week. But in addition to having Centerpoint worship services happening here, we could also have a worship service happening someplace else. If you guys could turn on that video signal right now. I got to comb my hair. There we go. Okay. What they would see at the site, and every time I turn around, then you're looking at the back of my head, so that's bad. But what they would see at the site is the image that you see on the screens. It's magnified. It's a little bigger than I am in standing in front of you, and when you're in a room like this, especially if you're sitting on the sides, it really helps to have the image on the screens. Can you guys see me over there? Okay, they can. Okay, that helps. Well, what we've discovered is when you put an image on a screen, it helps people see. And for you people in the far corner, we've already had this when we've put the magnified image up on the screens, so people in corners go, oh man, I could see much better. In fact, what's really funny is when I'm teaching in a message like this and we put the image, the magnified image up on the screens, even as I'm talking to people, everybody's looking at the screen. Nobody's looking at me. Every now and then I glance over, okay, he's still there, but I like watching the image better. And what's funny is after the seventh or eighth row, pretty much everybody is watching the screens most of the time because you can just see better. Well, if people can watch me on the screens from 45 feet away, what would happen if they could watch me on the screens 45 miles away? Then all of a sudden, not only could we bring people to church here in Prattville, but this is the next point in your outline, that with multiple sites, we can reach out to people who may never come here. We could reach out to people who may never come here. Now, there was a verse, I want to go back to this verse at Ephesians 5:15, where it says this, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days, and don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. What we're trying to do here at Centerpoint is make the most of every opportunity. At the beginning of the 21st century, we have an opportunity to take advantage of video technology and the World Wide Web that 100 years ago, even a generation ago, people would have said it was impossible. We can now start up an extension campus with a couple of people that are a site pastor who will be there on the site, who would do everything that you've seen this morning, what Chris Britton, our student minister, was doing, what Scott Shumpert at one of the other services was making some announcements as well, welcoming people, greeting people. We're going to have an associate pastor, a site pastor there doing the exact same thing. When the message is over, if it's time, if there are people who need to be prayed for, they're the people who would pray with the folks there, serve communion, do the baptisms, whatever is necessary. We'd have a site worship leader that would have a worship team live right there at that location. In fact, this morning, if you didn't recognize the gentleman who was behind the keyboard leading the singing this morning, his name is Levis, and he's going to be our worship leader at our first site that we hope to get launched in early 2012. This is a direction where we're headed, and God is pulling us here and has opened the doors wide open for us to go. But I tell you this because we want to be able to go and reach out to people who may never come here. There's a verse in Scripture from the Apostle Paul's missionary journey where he was going from city to city, and he pretty much planned out what cities he was trying to go to. But every time he would try to go on the route that he had chosen, the Holy Spirit kept turning him back. And in Acts 16:9, it says this, where when they were staying in the city of named Troas, the Apostle Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, and this is a great distance away, and Paul hadn't originally been planning to go there at all. And he was pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave from Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. At Centerpoint, we'd like to be a church where we can start up extensions of our church at places where people need a church just like this. And I want to tell you, I have a passion for helping get extensions of our church started, especially in a lot of smaller communities. I grew up in a farming community in Kansas where there aren't churches like Centerpoint. There's nothing like it. In fact, when I bring relatives here or friends that come from small communities like that, they come in and they go, and it happened just last week. I got an email from a gentleman again. He said, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I feel like I've never been to church before. My heart was stirred and by the music, and I felt like the message, God really spoke to me through this, and I can't wait to come back. I wait for church all week long. Well, we'd love to give people an opportunity to have that kind of worship, to be involved in a small group where there's accountability and they can experience growth and change lives with their friends. Well, as we've been plotting all this too and planning this out and praying for this, it was funny, I was gathered with a few folks, we're talking about this at a Starbucks at East Chase, that's located next to East Chase there in Montgomery. And we were talking about this whole multi-site vision, and one of the women who attends here at Centerpoint happened to be getting a cup of coffee there. And we were just talking about the topic, would people get this if we talked about the need of having extension campuses and meeting in multiple locations, bringing the church to people instead of just asking people to come to us. And I said, well, let's try it out. We got somebody right here. And I asked her to come over and I said, hey, and we kind of explained what you've heard this morning, that we'd like to have extensions of our church that would go into different communities, not just here in Prattville. And she goes, oh man, I hope you can start one here on the other side of Montgomery, because I got a friend of mine that I've been trying to get to come, and she'd love to come to Center Point, but it's just too far. The next week, I talked to a gentleman who had visited Centerpoint several times. He goes, oh, I love coming there. It's just too far to drive. Now, if Centerpoint was in my neighborhood, man, I'd come every week and I'd bring all my friends. Well, we're thinking about that. And so what I tell you is that's what we're working on, is a way that we can bring the church to more people. Now, by the way, that's where the name Centerpoint came from. Some of you have asked me, they said, well, why do you call this church Centerpoint? I mean, there's a place, there's a geographic location known as Centerpoint close to Birmingham, but there's nothing in Prattville called Centerpoint. Why do you call it that? Well, this church that you're meeting in right now, which we're hosting these meetings here at the conference center in Prattville, we want it to be the hub from which a number of congregations, other locations, spoke out from. So this would be the hub church or the center point. We just didn't like the name hub, okay? Hub Fellowship Church. It's not a, there's no ring to that, you know? Just doesn't work. And in fact, for the first couple of months after we started this thing, a couple of years ago, some of you remember this, we didn't have a name for it because we didn't know what to call it. We knew what we wanted it to do, but we used to just, there were signs out here. Does anyone remember this? It just said New Church, okay? New Church meeting. If you go, what was the church? What's the name? Well, we don't know. It's just supposed to look like this. And some people joked, well, you could call it the Hub Church, and then if you join, you could be a Hubba Bubba or something like that, you know, in the South. That's ridiculous. So we didn't call it that. But this would allow us to have extension campuses in all kinds of places. A dream of mine, like I said, to be in a lot of smaller communities. I'd love to have an extension campus in Clanton and in Greenville and Pike Road. All kinds of places. And that's what we're pursuing and we're praying about. Here's another reason why that's important. With multiple sites, our church can grow here and there at the same time. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Jesus said, you'll receive power and you'll tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Without going into a big lesson on geography, the disciples started the church right there in Jerusalem where they were. Judea was the surrounding territory. Samaria was next door to that, and the ends of the earth was every place after that. We'd like to do the same thing. Start here at the center point and work our way outward. And we can grow here and there at the same time. For most of you who are coming here, the fact that we're doing multiple sites won't change anything. We'll still be here just like we always have been. We'll still have connect groups here like we always have had them. It's just in the future, we hope to have them at other locations as well. But now you understand why we have a video camera right there. Some of you have asked, well, are you doing that just so you can have home movies? No, we're not. This is something that would be sent to these other sites, so other people could be a part of this as well. With multiple sites, point C, we can also offer new opportunities for people to serve. This is so important. I mean, one of the great things about Center Point from the beginning, and that I don't ever want you to miss, is this, is that we want people to serve. We always want to create a structure where if we have a site pastor and a worship leader, their job will be still to set up volunteer teams. The great thing about starting multiple sites is just like we need ushers here, we'll need ushers there. We need children's workers here, we'll need children's workers there. We'll need parking ushers here, we'll need parking ushers there. It's great. I was sharing this with a friend of mine. He was going, well, John, you got it all wrong. What you need to do is you need to get yourself a big building and then get yourself good staff and get a few volunteers to fill in the spots. And then you're finished. And then the rest of us just can come to church and just come and go to church. And I said, well, let me take this opportunity to clarify something. We will never have a church like that. Never. I do not want a church where we hire enough staff and have a few volunteers that people think are good enough to do something. And then the rest of us come and sit down in a chair and go, wow, I wish Shelley would sing that Revelation song again. The music wasn't as good this week. John told more funny stories last week. Wasn't as good this week. This isn't a performance. This is our church. You're needed here. I don't ever want a church where we got a big spectator audience coming to see how a few of us do it. I want a church where we're all in this together. It's your church and it's mine and you're using your gifts and I'm using mine. I don't want to be efficient about it. I want us all to play. And so if we have enough volunteers for a first Sunday crew and a second Sunday crew and a third Sunday crew and a fourth Sunday crew, well, eventually it'd all fill up. Unless you kept starting up new places all the time, then we'd always need more volunteers. Yeah, but John, is that really what God wants? Well, this is Jesus again, talking to his disciples. Now, disciples, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we don't serve together, we're missing out on a big part of why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And there has never been any understanding other than that for the people who genuinely want to follow Christ. And so opportunities to serve are vital to us. And by creating more extensions, we'll always have places for everyone to use their gifts. And one last point real quickly is this. With multiple sites, we can also offer new opportunities to grow and lead. To grow and lead. See, some of you aren't just going to be called to serve in a capacity. You're going to be called to step up to leadership. You will be. God will stir in your heart. In fact, some of you, as I'm speaking right now, your heart's starting to beat fast right now. And you're going, I can't believe he's talking about this. I know, because it's happened after every service we've done this morning. People come up with tears in their eyes going, I guess I got to do something, don't I? I go, yep. That's God calling you. He's pulling at you saying, hey, I want you to step up your game. I want you to step up your leadership potential. I want you to grow in this. The pastors and teachers, this is my job, by the way, Ephesians 4. The pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church. Not to do it themselves, but to equip God's people to do it. So they build up the body of Christ until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. God is going to be leading some of you to step up to a position of leadership. He will, and he'll take you on the next step. And then once you step to that level, he'll take you to the next one after that. Paul also told his disciple Timothy these words, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. One of the greatest joys of my life is to get to do this ministry. I had somebody ask me not that long ago. They said, well, John, if you could do any job in the world, what job would you do? I go, I'm doing it. God put this vision for Centerpoint on my heart about being multi-site 15 years ago. And he won't let it go. And I'm so excited about the fact that we have a chance to do that here. We've been meeting in multiple times already at 8, 9, 15, 11. We've already had two worship services here this morning. And now we're going to be able to meet in multiple locations at the same time, taking advantage of technology. And I'm so excited about it. Now, some of you are going to be asking, though, where would you find brave people like these site pastors, okay, to do this? Well, I want you to meet our first site pastor. His name is Don Darling, and he's going to help us launch our first site, okay? And so, Don, some of you know him. Yeah, you can applaud him. Don, some of you know, he has been an elder on our board of elders as God called him to be a part of this church. But as we progressed in his vision, he told us in the elder board, I really feel like God wants me to be the first site pastor. So Don, tell everybody, first of all, how'd you get involved in Centerpoint?
For a while now, there's been a group of guys that have met weekly for like a prayer breakfast over at Cracker Barrel. About 2 years ago, we got together and we said, we'd like to have more out of church than what we've been getting. And so we had collectively decided to let's meet in somebody's home and start and pull our resources together and hire us a Bible teaching preacher. One of the fellows went and talked to John Schmidt about it, what we're looking to do. And John met with us one of those breakfast mornings there, and he said that, well, if you're all looking to build a church for yourselves, he says, I'm not the man for you. But if you're looking to build a church that wants to go into the community and disciple other people to grow leaders from up within it, he says, then I'm your man. And so from that point on, we were just listening to John. He talked to us about multi-site, and we pursued multi-site.
Now, what's really interesting also is what you need to know is when they approached me on this, I've been serving another church, Fraser Methodist, for almost 20 years. And there were, what, 50, 60 people meeting in the living room?
Yeah, the first time was 52 people.
Yeah. And so they were coming to me saying, well, we know you've been here for about 20 years, but we got 50 people in the living room. Would you come? Okay. And so it took me a while to pray through that because that was kind of a big jump. Okay. Kind of a big leap. And you almost gave up on me, didn't you?
I wrote them off. Yeah. Okay. I told the guys, I said, hey, look, let's find somebody else. You know, we were going to check out Andy Stanley or several other people there to come down because he was dragging his feet for a long time. But what was interesting was that we decided to meet and forget John. But the thing is, we were using his videos. We met in the living room, and it was John's videos on TV. And that's how we started. And I had the job of being like the site pastor. Barefoot Nick was our worship leader. You've seen him up here playing guitar. And he was our worship leader at the time. And we would sit there, and I thought coming to this would be awkward. I thought the first Sunday would be so strange, coming to somebody's house and say, hey, let's do church, you know. But when you're in the will of God, and you're doing what he has called you to do, it's amazing. And it was just incredible. The feeling of we're in the right place. This is where God has called us. And we didn't realize that for 15 years, God's been working on his heart. And so God was putting all these pieces together for us to, at this time, this place, in this part of the country, to start this.
Yeah, and so what was so amazing to me was these folks started using videos of messages that I had preached months earlier, or taught on television months earlier, and they were showing those videos. I'd been praying about doing a church exactly like this for a long time. I went, well, Lord, if this isn't a confirmation, I don't know what is. They already have a video site going, and I didn't even tell them how to do it. And so if you're ever wondering, hey, would a church work if it started with video messages? This church started with video messages. Not some church you've never heard of. Centerpoint started with video messages. This church. Not quite 2 years ago. And so I want you to understand the reason that we have every belief in the world this is going to work is because it's worked here. And so Don would be the associate pastor there. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to put together now a team of folks around him. We mentioned Lavise. But Don would be the site pastor. And we have identified a place for our first, the target where we plan to launch our first site. And it would be toward the community of Pike Road on the other side of Montgomery. There's a location there close to Pike Road. Right off Ray Thorington Road is Jim Wilson YMCA. And we've already talked to them, and beginning in early 2012, we'd like to start having worship services there where the messages would be seen by video, where it'd be connect groups that would be all in the community around it, and people could volunteer there and serve at that location just like they could here.
So think about it. John's running long, belaboring a point. We got it. We can shut him off and go. Come on. Who wouldn't want that opportunity?
Well, you know? That's true. You just gotta turn that off. We got it. Let's go. It's 12 o'clock.
But what I need on your Connect card is a box for you to check. God's calling several of you, 100 to 200 of you, to be a part of something that we haven't even experienced yet. We don't know what multi-site actually all entails to do it, and you can be a part of it. It's just like when we first started. This is actually the beginning of what God has called us to do. This is the beginning of the dream that was given to John for us to move forward with multi-site, and he's calling several of you to be a part of it. And yeah. I want you to understand something important, that it is the process of where we grow. It's through the relationships, the praying, and pursuing something together that we grow spiritually with God and relationally with each other. We're not looking to all of a sudden plug something in and ask you to come to it. That's not what it's about. The DNA of Centerpoint here is for us to grow relationally with each other. You want to experience it. This is a great opportunity.
So on your connection card, in your bulletin, there's a box that says, hey, I want to serve at Centerpoint's new multi-site campus. You don't have to know exactly where, but if God's tugging at your heart to be involved in this, we'd like you to check the box and give us your name, your phone number, your email address. We'd love for you to drop that in the white bucket on your way out today. We're going to have an organizational meeting, what, in 2 weeks?
2 weeks. What's that put us at? The 16th, 6 o'clock at the church office. We're going to grab these volunteers, and we're all going to start meeting and planning.
And so, again, with a target of trying to launch something in early 2012. But Don's going to be running point on a lot of that development, and I'm thrilled to be working with him. Don has really felt called to this. And by the way, people have asked me, are you serious? You're going to find people to do this? What about after Don? Well, there's another gentleman, Ben. Are you here, Ben? Why don't you stand up for a second? Just wave. Ben Paramore is somebody else who's also said, hey, I feel called to this too. There are other gentlemen after that. And so if you're wondering, where are you going to find these site pastors? They're already coming. If this is God's vision, I don't have to make it happen, and neither do you. If God's leading you to volunteer, again, most of us, you're going to stay right here. You're not even going to notice, I don't think, hardly any difference at all from what we've always been doing here. What you will hear is that we're doing multi-site, we're doing center point at other locations as well. So if God's tugging at your heart, just check the box. Come to the meeting. Find out more. When I got a call into ministry, it happened the same way. I took a job as an engineer with a company that promised to send me. They had offices all over the world, in Tokyo and in Paris and in London, and I could not wait to go see the world. I got to their training headquarters up in Minneapolis and went through my training. I said, where do I go? Tokyo, London, Paris? They said, Montgomery, Alabama. Okay? That was not on the recruitment brochure, I promise you. So all of a sudden, I ended up here. But after I ended up here, I remember my wife and I were just dating at the time, went to hear a missionary speak one night at a church in Montgomery. And that missionary spoke, and during her message, she said, "I feel led to call out and say this. There are probably several people here, but there's at least one person here who needs to be in full-time ministry. And God knows who you are. And if you're not answering the call, then I want to know why not." And it was about at that time, man, I felt like my heart was going to come out of my chest. I couldn't even breathe. Debbie and I were dating at the time. This is not the way to impress your date, okay? So what's the matter with you? I go, man, I got to respond to that. When I talked to the missionary afterward, she said, "Well, God's got a call in your life, and He makes it clear where He wants you to go. You go." So I'd tell you that if your heart's beating fast as you're doing this, and it's happened in the service before this, because people come up to you and me both after this, and God's prepared you already. Check the box. Come to the meeting. Let's go.
And one thing, Pike Road may not be the area you want to go at, but the experience of how to put it all together for where God's calling you to be a part of it also is important.
Yeah. So let's have a round of applause for Don and tell him thank you. Thank you. I'm going to get our worship team back up here. They'll give us a song to reflect on all this for just a few minutes. Powerful song. Maybe you need to do more than reflect. Maybe you need to pray with someone today. I'm going to ask Don and Scott if you guys would be over on this side of the room. Ben, if you join me over here, we'll be glad to pray with you. People have prayed with us after every service today. We'd love to pray with you today. Maybe not about multi-site. Maybe not at all. Maybe today you just need prayer that God will show you how to fall in love with Him more. Maybe you need prayer for a friend, or you got an illness, or you're worried about jobs. Somebody grabbed me on the way in and said, "Your wife prayed with me a couple weeks ago about a job. I want you to know God helped me find a job." We'll pray with you. Don't leave here today with your heart heavy about anything. Let's have a word of prayer. God, I thank you for our church. I thank you for this church. This is the job I've always wanted to do. And Lord, I get a chance to think through this. In Ephesians 5, Paul said that we're supposed to make the most of our time because the days are evil. We're supposed to make the most of every opportunity. And for us to make the most of every opportunity means we want to use the web and we want to use video. We want to disciple people to be site pastors. We want to get people places to serve and grow and lead. Lord, I just want to be a church like that where it's real and authentic, and we're glad we came. We want to create hundreds of new connect groups where people can build relationships with friends. Friends will challenge them and pray for them, and that we'll all just be ready for heaven when you return. Till that time, though, Lord, I just pray that we'll be faithful. I thank you, Lord, we've had multiple services here already. We've been doing 3 services for a while. Now soon we'll be able to do multiple locations. I thank you for the day in which we live. The days are evil, but the news is good. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners like me. Help us proclaim that as loudly and as clearly as we can with every means possible. I pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's go.